Wir sind in Berlin, die NFL ist zu Gast mit den Colts und den Falcons und wir haben eine Spezialausgabe für euch. Wir haben es euch ja versprochen, Christoph Stadler und ich. Ich treffe mich jetzt mit Uwe von Scharmann, dem ersten Deutschen im Super Bowl damals. Ein paar Jahre ist es her. Und was gibt es einen besseren Ort, als eine Legende zu treffen, als in einem Dönerladen? Und ich bin der Meinung, wir sind schon richtig angekommen, denn wir sehen NFL Berlin, der Football als Döner. Ach, perfekt. Ich gehe rein.
Die Talkzone.
So, wir haben es nach drinnen geschafft. Eine Spezialfolge mit einem speziellen Gast. Und wir haben richtig schön lecker Essen bekommen. Aber darum geht es nicht. Es gibt NFL Berlin, es gibt Döner und es gibt Uwe von Scharmann. Schönen guten Abend. Lass es dir gleich schmecken. NFL Berlin, wie fühlt sich das für dich als gebürtigen Berliner an?
Es ist sehr schön, wieder zurück sein. Mein Deutsch ist ein bisschen rostig. Das machen wir ja jetzt in Englisch.
Yes, we do. Aber okay. Für alle unsere Zuschauer, wir wollten es ihm auch nicht nehmen lassen, in Deutsch zu sprechen. Your German is still good.
Okay.
So, don't worry, it's not rusty, it's pretty nice.
Okay, thanks.
But how is your feeling? I mean, you were born in Berlin,
yeah.
You live in the US now, but now NFL,
yeah.
You as an ex-NFL player, is in your actual hometown. How are you feeling?
Oh, I feel wonderful. It's exciting. I never thought this would happen. I've always loved Berlin, and I'm excited for the NFL to make this investment here, and maybe someday we'll have a regular team in Berlin, and so it's an exciting time for me, and it's kind of like for me it's just coming back home. It's just. Incredible, and it's hard for me to put in words, but it's sort of coming home.
It is coming home, and yeah. how connected are you still with Berlin? I mean, you left when you were 16 years old. You did go to the U.S. Are there a lot of requests that the NFL is now here, and you as a Berlin guy and from the States, everybody knows you will be here. Is there a lot of connection still with Berlin?
Not here, but all my family and friends are very, very excited for me to come back here, and they tell me it's well deserved, so I'll take it.
it is.
Yeah.
Speaking about you and your story for everybody who does not know, because you also mentioned in an interview a few years ago, the guys and the people in the United States, they know you when they say your name, Uwe von Scharmann.
Mm-hmm.
In Germany, it's not that big.
No.
Because you played in the NFL several years ago. But before that, you went with 16 from Berlin, from Spandau,
yeah.
to visiting the U.S.
Yes.
And then what happened?
Okay, so my mother and I visited the U.S. and she had friends that moved from Germany to Texas. And so when we flew into New York, my mother said, we have two choices. Which is a good name of a book. You have two choices.
Yeah.
She said we can either stay here in New York for a couple of weeks or we can go to see my friends in Texas. And, you know, I was a big fan of John Wayne growing up, watching John Wayne movies with my grandmother, meine Großmutter, Christina. And so I said, yeah, I want to go to Texas because I hear there's a lot of cowboys and Indians. So we didn't have the funds to travel by plane, so we decided to go to the bus station and see how far we could go with our money. And we didn't speak English. And so my mother sent me to the cashier, and I gave him all the money we had. And I said, Texas, you know, Texas. And so he gave me two tickets. And I went back to my mom, and we looked at the tickets, and it said Memphis.
Oh,
and
no.
So we thought, okay, Memphis is in Texas.
Yeah.
So Memphis is in Texas, right? So we had enough money to buy four apples because we thought that afternoon we would be in Memphis on the bus. So we get on the bus. 2 days later, we get to Memphis, and the apples are gone. No food, nothing. And so the only choice we had is to hitchhike. So we're downtown Memphis in the middle of the night. And so we got a ride. This guy took us to the highway, and we stood there for a long time. And finally, another person picked us up. And he lived in Little Rock, so Memphis to Little Rock's a pretty good distance, so we were pretty happy. He realized we hadn't eaten or slept, so he took us to breakfast. And you can imagine, as a 16-year-old, I was pretty hungry, so I definitely
ate like I hadn't eaten. As for now, you can take whatever you want, right? Yes. If you're hungry still.
Right, yeah. I'll take it home with me. So he took us to his house. And he told us that we could rest. And then at night, he would take us back out on the highway. And so we rested all day. And I remember his wife was going to work. And she made us a bunch of sandwiches for that night. And so that night, he took us out on the highway. And the next person that picked us up took us all the way to my mom's friends in Fort Worth.
Crazy.
So that was our first trip to America.
And also a long ride.
Yes.
So to say.
Yes.
And when I'm doing a little jump right now,
okay.
it's crazy hearing that story for everybody at home. When we remember you were 2-time in the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
We're coming to that, but that's crazy how how it actually started. It
started, right.
You did go to the high school when I'm correct
We had to go back. We had to go back, and then I talked my mom into coming back to Fort Worth.
Okay.
And so we came back 6 months later. In June of 1972, and I went to that high school. When we were there for 2 weeks, there was a local high school down the road. So I went there to sit in the classroom to see what it was like. And there was a teacher that taught German, so I was in a German class for 2 weeks. And I decided, well, the kids are having a lot more fun here than in Germany. It's all academics, right? If you play sports, you have to join a club or Verein. Yeah. And on the way home, I was talking to my mother, and I said, you know, I think we should move here. So 6 months later, we came back, and I went to that high school. And during that time, in the first month or two, during a physical education class, one of the football coaches saw me, and we were playing flag football.
Big deal nowadays for everybody.
I picked it up and I just punted it, and the coach said was very impressed, and he goes, "What's your name?" I go, "Uwe," and he goes, "What?" And I go, "What's your last name?" I go, "Von Schaumann." He goes, "What?" And so he said, "Kick it again." So I kicked it again. And he said, "You're going to be my kicker from now on." And so that's how I got started.
Crazy.
And my coach that discovered me, he's still alive. And we talk all the time. So
that's,
Coach
that's
nice. Cecil Newton.
That's nice to hear.
Yes. So I started kicking for the football team. And after my junior year, which I had one more year left, and I could have graduated because all my academics from Germany transferred over, and so I was done after my 11th grade. But the coach said, "If you stay one more year, you might get a scholarship." I go, "What's a scholarship?" He goes, "That's when they pay for your school, all of it." And I go, "You mean to tell me just to kick a football, they're going to pay for all my college?" I go, "What a country."
That's unbelievable for a German teenager,
yes,
right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I go, "What a country." I go, So I stayed another year, and sure enough, I got recruited by several colleges, and then ended up going to the University of Oklahoma, which was a really, really good team.
It was there. It is today. It's a really good name in football. And as I mentioned before, to shorten that one a little up, you were in Oklahoma. You were in college. It was also pretty good. You state championships and all that stuff. And as I mentioned before, in the United States, they know you because of one reason. It's college football history, so to say, because of the kick.
Right.
There was pressure on you to win a game against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Can you take us back why everybody knows you? Because it's the kick.
Okay.
So it's not Uwe. No, nobody maybe in the U.S. it's like Uwe who or what, as you mentioned.
Yes. Yeah.
But if you say the kick, everybody knows you.
If you Google my name, the kick will come up.
I know. I did my
research.
I did my research. That's right.
Yeah. So we were playing against Ohio State. and Ohio State was just as good as we were. We were ranked 2 and 3, somewhere in the top 5, and whoever won that game would probably be number 1. And it was the third game of the season, so we went up there, and we. It was also a great story about the coaches, because our coach was a very young coach, very brash. He's a player's coach, and the other coach, older, old school, Woody Hayes. So anyway, it's a big clash, and we started out, I kicked 2 field goals, we had 2 touchdowns, we're up 20-0, and then they came back, Ohio State came back, and it came back to where they were in the lead by 2, mm-hmm. and I had to kick an onside kick. I don't know if you guys...
Yeah, we know. Our onside kick? Yeah, okay, we know.
Okay.
We know.
So I kicked my special teams coach asked me, where are you going to kick it? And I go, I'm going to kick it to that guy right over there. And so I kicked it, and sure enough, it bounced off his chest, and we recovered. And then we ended up getting a little closer, and we were ready, 4th down, and I was getting ready to kick. All we needed 3 points to win by 1. And so right before I kicked, they called a timeout to ice me.
Icing the kicker, yeah.
And so during that timeout, I don't know why I did that, but we were playing at Ohio, and 88,000 fans, they were yelling, block that kick, block that kick. And so I got up, and I led the chant right there in the middle of the field, which was crazy, right?
Yeah, so, you were asked to say you were heating them up,
yes,
even more,
right?
Because of your behavior in that moment.
Right,
yeah.
And it was spontaneous.
Yeah,
you know? I didn't plan it. And then next thing, I kicked the ball, and we win by 1 point. Next thing I know, I'm on the bottom of about 30 players. I almost got crushed there in Columbus, Ohio. So, and it's funny because when I travel around state of Oklahoma, people always tell me where they were and what happened. It's like a moment in their life, because they're big fans. They always tell me stories.
Yeah, that's
about
nice.
That.
And,
yeah.
And it's pretty cool to watch the video actually on YouTube. So today,
oh, yeah,
I
yeah,
recommend
yeah,
that
right,
one.
Right.
So the kick. Is a big thing. And then you went to the NFL, of course. That's why
yes.
we are here. As I mentioned before, you get drafted 1979 from the Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
We're playing there for 6 years,
yes.
roundabout. 2-time Super Bowl, not the Super Bowl champion, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah.
But maybe. As I mentioned before, 16, teenager, you had to take the bus, you went to college, you made college history, and then playing suddenly in the NFL, playing in the Super Bowl. How
yes.
did that feel that days?
It's just amazing. I mean, I didn't know what I was going to do after I graduated from college, and it was, I had no idea, but then I get a call from Don Shula, who's the coach,
yeah.
the winningest coach in the NFL. And they drafted me, and they had a kicker there for 13 years. He was from Cyprus, Gero Yupremium.
Nice.
Yes, he was the local hero there. And I said, well, I'm just going to do my best in preseason, see what happens. And after I played in every preseason game, I'm going, do I have a chance to make it? And so the way I found out is, when I went to practice after the last preseason game, my stuff was still in my locker and his stuff was gone. So that's
okay.
how I found out.
Yeah, okay. That's a sign,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. But the fans didn't like it because he was a local hero, you know.
Yeah.
And so they...
But they did accept you later on because you were also yeah. quite
in
successful.
In the beginning, they were kind of booing me.
Yeah.
I thought they were trying to say my name, Uwe, but they were booing.
So it's not like Pat Fryer mood. It's like that. So it's really a boo. Okay, that's pretty sad. Yeah, I know.
So they finally accepted me and ended up being a rookie of the year for the Miami Dolphins
yeah.
in 79.
Pretty nice. And the first German in a Super Bowl.
Yep, that's
also.
Right.
That's
yes.
it's important to mention. And Berlin born and raised. And maybe also the last point to your past. Because you mentioned Cyprus, there was also a Hungarian kicker to that time, end of the 70s and the 80s. You and also you by yourself changed the way of kicking field goals or kicking kicks overall.
Yes.
Would you say you're like, to this time, a European pioneer to the kicking game as we are knowing it today in the NFL?
I think it was Jan Stenerud from Norway. That was one of the first. And there were also a couple of Austrian brothers. They were Fußballspielers.
Yeah.
That was in the 60s, actually. But back then, it was straight-on kicking, you know, pretty much straight-on kicking. And so, yeah, I was one of the first guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at this time, just to explain for our viewers, there was like, I'd say it in German, sie haben mit der Pike geschossen. Ja, also gerade angelaufen, they went straight, yeah. And then mit der Pike geschossen.
Yeah.
Uwe, because we're in Berlin, in your hometown, do you want to have a Döner, actually? Because we're here in the NFL Berlin.
Natürlich.
Yeah. Vielleicht kriegen wir gleich Döner. Zwiebel, ja, nein? Wichtige
Zwiebel.
Frage.
Yeah.
Zwiebel,
yeah.
Onions, you know, you want to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the most important questions going for Döner.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a look what's going on now at the in the NFL. Because we're back in your hometown, the NFL was here at the preseason games in Berlin already, and now it's the first regular season game. How big is this for you, not as the first Berlin guy and the first German guy in a Super Bowl, but as a like NFL fan in Germany, born and raised, and now living in the States overall?
I would have loved to play in that game, for sure.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's exciting for Berlin. It's exciting for Deutschland. It's exciting for young men growing up here and playing football and having opportunities to maybe go on and get a scholarship to go to college in the United States and maybe have that opportunity like I had to play in the NFL. So I'm very excited for the NFL to be here.
But this is also like a pioneer work you did, because you mentioned it, how your way went to the NFL, and nowadays the NFL is really looking after European guys.
Yes.
And especially German guys. And we have for this game right now, Indianapolis Colts against Atlanta Falcons, we have two German guys in the practice squad, but they are at the roster with a tight end Maximilian Mang from the Colts.
Yes.
Berlin guy.
Yeah.
Potsdam, so...
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and also Lenny Krieg, who is from Berlin Tegel, and for these guys, it's a big thing that you also paved their way,
yes.
At your time.
Yeah.
How would you describe the situation of Lenny Krieg? Do you still following the NFL weekly and looking after what the German guys are doing in the league?
Yeah, I'm not familiar about, as you mentioned, as I heard earlier, that there were a couple of German guys on the practice squad.
So. And Berlin guys. That's a so amazing
that's,
story.
That is
crazy.
Amazing. Yeah, that's three of them now, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, it's exciting for those guys, and I hope they get a chance to actually play in the game.
Yeah. We will see, because the Atlanta Falcons had like they released Parker Romo last week. They got Sam Gonzalez, who was also in Washington, and maybe Lenny Krieg has a chance. I said to all of the Falcons fans, if you see Sam Gonzalez, keep him, give him something to eat, take him for a beer, because Lenny Krieg has to have the chance as a Berlin kicker,
yes.
And that would be the circle with you,
exactly.
Playing in that game for
yes.
sure.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to on this weekend, NFL in Berlin?
I'm looking for the Americans that are actually traveling here, you know, to see Berlin.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that a lot of the fans that are coming from the United States, maybe they haven't been to Berlin. And just to hear the history about Berlin, when it was divided back mm-hmm. in the days. And I think for them it would be amazing to see part of the wall go to the... Checkpoint Charlie and all the great places to see in Berlin. So I'm excited for those fans. And I'm excited for, in fact, my cousin is coming to the game, and she's very excited to see a football game. So the Germans have never seen a football game in person. I'm very excited for them.
And do you have like a favorite for this game on Sunday, Falcons,
well,
Colts?
I'm sure the
Is there
Colts
something?
Are favorite, but
yeah.
You never know. It's hard to really predict anymore, because
yeah.
It's just on any given Sunday, anything can happen, right?
That's true. But I mean, nobody expected that the Colts would be that good. How do you see them with the offense of Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor? It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely in the running for the MVP of the league this year. He's had a tremendous season so far. I'm really excited for the quarterback.
Jonathan Taylor?
The quarterback.
Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones. Yeah, I'm very excited for him to have a second chance after leaving the Giants. So I'm really excited. I know they had a little hiccup last week, but hopefully they'll come back. And I have to root for the Oklahoma guy that plays for the Falcons, mm-hmm. Billy Bowman.
Yeah.
I'm kind of torn between the two.
And maybe a question regarding the Olympic Stadium. Did you kick a football in the Olympic Stadium at any time?
No.
You did not?
No.
But it's like you know it, of course, and everybody knows it. It's a little bit open. Do you think special team will be a bigger thing in international games and in this kind of big stadium? Because we have the Tatanbahn all around. It's a little bit windy down the field. Is it a bigger thing you would say as an ex-kicker, Fonsade?
Yeah, anytime you have any wind issues, that's going to be a problem. I played in some games. I remember in San Francisco when they were playing on the bay and it was so windy. That will be an issue for both kickers on Sunday. I used to go to watch Hertha BSC play there, and so it'll bring back really, really good memories.
It is. And maybe a question also because of you. Are you still a fan of the NFL, or are you a fan of the Miami Dolphins?
Enough said.
No. Enough said? No.
It's changed. God, they're so different. You know, you expected for them to be better.
Yeah.
Because they were so good in the early years. We're celebrating 60 years of the Miami Dolphins this December. We have a reunion in Miami, and there will be a lot of guys from the undefeated team. And I played with some of the guys on the undefeated team. So it's kind of sad, but hopefully they'll get their act together.
because you also, maybe the last question for now, thank you so much. You did also some mentality work after your career. You wrote a book. You worked with children, but you also had speeches and workshops to get to people pressure for like the kick and also the mentality. Do you think the Miami Dolphins have that problem? Because a few weeks ago, your former team had like the very open discussion about leadership inside of the locker room.
Yeah, that's very important. You know, we had a lot of chemistry back in the days. That's why we were so successful, and I'm not sure if they have that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can see our dinner is coming.
Okay.
Uwe.
Ooh.
Enjoy.
Look at that.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
And
beautiful.
The only thing I can say, I appreciated your time.
Yeah.
Enjoy your dinner.
Yeah.
And we will see you.
Can I add one more thing?
Sure. For sure.
On when I mentioned the first time I came to the U.S., many years later, my mother and I were talking about we would like to meet those people that helped us 30 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So my mom was always, well, she's German. She always wrote stuff down and had these little books, you know, and notes and stuff. And she looked through all of them, and she opened up one of them, and this name came out, Robert Carson. And we figured out that was the guy that took us from Memphis to Little Rock. So we tried to get a hold of him. And actually, I found a phone number with his name, and I called it. So I called the number, and this lady, I left a message. And she called me back, and she goes, "What's this all about?" I go, "Well, 30 years ago, this guy named Robert Carson gave us a ride from Memphis to Little Rock, and we just wanted to thank him."
Yeah, and he's kind of responsible as well. Yeah.
And she said, "Well, that's my son." And she goes, "Unfortunately, not too long after he gave you a ride, he died in a motorcycle accident." I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and said, "I'm going to Miami for the Orange Bowl, and I would like to meet you." And so we drove to Little Rock, and I pulled up to the house, and there were like 30 cars. I go, "What is going on here, right?" So I knock on the door, and she opens the door. She gives me a big hug, and she had her son that passed in a motorcycle accident. He had a twin brother and other siblings. And if you remember, when he took us to his house, his wife was pregnant at the time. Well, he passed away before.
Oh no!
Before, you know, Chopper.
Okay. Yeah.
So that he ended up, excuse me, having a daughter. So the daughter runs up to me, gives me a big hug, and she wanted to know all about her dad. And I'm like going, "Ooh, this is heavy, right?"
Yeah.
And so we had this huge Southern buffet style, and the mother goes, "Now get up and tell the story when you met my son." And I told the story, and it was very moving. But when I left, her daughter-in-law came up to me and said, "You coming here is going to help my mother-in-law finally. She can, after all these years, she can finally grieve about her son."
That's so nice.
And so I was, you know, that was the, I
that's
was
so nice.
Teary yeah. up and all that. So and that was the rest of the story.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting because that is an important message for everybody. Everybody has his own story.
Yes.
And everybody has his own development.
Yeah.
As for you, as a teenager going there, making it to the Super Bowl, but your story crossing another story.
Yeah.
And it's touching and also interesting then for them. Okay, the police is coming now.
Yeah.
So I think
I have my papers.
Yeah. No, thank you very much, Uwe. It was fun. It was pretty interesting.
Really fun, yeah.
We were looking forward to you. See you on Sunday.
Okay.
And the last words belongs to you in German, of course, if you want to.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Yes, there you go. There you go. Enjoy your dinner. Thank you very much.
Danke.
Thank you. Das war wirklich sehr interessant von Uwe von Scharmann zu hören, der mittlerweile, das habe ich ihn gar nicht mehr fragen können, in den USA ja lebt, trotzdem gerne immer noch hierher kommt. Und damals konnte er kein Englisch, jetzt kann er nur noch ein bisschen Deutsch, war aber gar nicht so verkehrt. Wir haben an der Stelle Feierabend, ich hoffe, das hat euch gefallen. Uwe sehen wir natürlich am Sonntag, dann beim Spiel in den Indianapolis Colts gegen die Atlanta Falcons ab 14.30 Uhr live auf The Zone. Ja, und ich sage jetzt mal, guten Appetit und bis Sonntag, wa?
Oh, geil.
Mmm.